listening live or recorded. I want to welcome all of you. I'm here tonight with Pastor Sam to my right, Pastor Kirk to my right, and then Pastor Tim to my left, which is but he's not here. He'll be here in about another second, but his Fuji water's here.
And his phone, his wallet. His credit card's around.
We're working live here, and we just had to get our cam recorder working, and he is our techno man. And you should be able to see him coming in right about now. Say hi to the
world. Hi, everybody. You probably see me for a
couple weeks now.
Yeah. I'm not a new face.
So we're going to continue to keep going on as far as what we feel that the Lord is saying to us in this hour. And right now we've been speaking a lot about the soul and how the soul is born in sin, and we have to understand what sin is, and we began to speak a lot about that, and we're going to continue to elaborate. But, you know, I was with Pastor Sam earlier today, and he was listening to the radio, and he just is amazed about how the messages that are out there in the world that are just proclaiming this doctrine that is just deceptive. And we were in the process of, you know, explaining that, you know, with the soul being alive, you know, until it's transformed and born again into the spirit, the soul was still alive and it's living
and ruling,
and ruling. And there's a scripture verse that speaks about in the last days, there's many false prophets that will be rising up and even deceiving the elect. And we want to elaborate a little bit about this because we want our listeners and those that are out there, and hopefully they grab a hold of this tape and listen to something that's going to change their world forever, needs to understand that the deception on the dark side of the world, the life in general, is out there and it's powerful. And when it says, and even deceives the elect, you know, I'm looking at the elect as anyone that has their heart opened. I want to say that. You know, I can't look at someone who has all the knowledge and all that. I mean, they could be easily deceived. But when you have truth, you can really smell it and see that it stinks and when they're lying. But the elect, I want to look at it as God calls and chooses everyone, and those that are the elect are those that have their hearts wide open, wanting to know the truth. I believe that there are some real sincere people out there that are sitting under congregations that really have a hunger or really want to know God, but you have the what they call false prophets. Now, we were talking about what a prophet is. Prophet is someone who proclaims God's word, not necessarily Nostradamus.
Not so
necessarily those individuals, but a prophet is really anyone who proclaims to speak the word of God. You know, and you have preachers and all those others.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up because there's a lot of people out there that are leaders that feel that they're under grace, but they're really under the soul.
Correct.
And they're being duped by the soul and thinking that they're moving in God's will and listening, you know, and moving by God's grace, and they're far from it.
Well, we mentioned this a while back. Most individuals are raised up by past leaders.
Yep.
And they're under the soul, yes. Doctrine, teaching. So you have the soul teaching the soul.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly how it is.
And it's coming as an angel of light.
That's how it's been.
Yeah.
For a long, long
time.
For
as long as we can think.
For a long time.
It's been there.
Since the apostles.
Well, the soul's been there in the very beginning.
Yeah. It's never not been there.
No, I mean, like, when the grace came in.
No, yeah, I know.
The soul took over and diverted it.
Correct. Perverted it.
Now it's delusional.
But they're speaking about, you know, we are pointing out some of the things that separate us from the doctrine that is out there, and they're proclaiming the doctrine to the doctrine that we have. Mm-hmm. God gave us this grace to be stewards of, and one is Jesus is a prophet. Yeah. You can look at him as the Son of God, but what made him to be the Son of God is he was able to subdue the soul, yeah, put it under his feet, and be born again in the spirit of Christ.
Correct.
That's what made him a son of God. But most doctrine, preaching religions, proclaim him as the Son of God. Like the one and only.
The only one.
I heard this today. I was listening to a sports talk radio, and this guy was on there, and he said Jesus was God, took the form of man, came down to earth, laid his life down and died from the cross for my sins, and then he went back up into heaven, and you know, he became God again. That's what the guy said.
Yeah, that's another issue of this doctrine that many false prophets are rising up, deceiving the elect.
Yeah.
Remember, the elect are those with their hearts wide open, really wanting to know God. Mm-hmm. And so if these individuals are coming with a conviction, so to say, and bringing this message across, they're saying to themselves, it sounds kind of weird, but at the same time, I'm going to believe them because my heart is so wide open. I'm the elect.
But let me just read real quick a short verse in Romans 8:29, where it says, "For this is talking about Jesus, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to become conformed to the image of his son. He might be the firstborn of many brethren."
Yeah.
That's Romans 8:29. Well, right in scripture.
Some of the doctrines that they go and speak about is a brethren of many. Yeah. Where Jesus is my brother. You know, Kurt's my brother, you know, in Christ. Sam, you're my brother in Christ. Jesus is my brother in Christ. I mean, this is how they really brought their knowledge of religion, and they're actually, the soul is twisted their thought. There's no revelational knowledge. There's no grace.
Not many of them will say he's their brother. A lot less than you think. They're gonna say he's God. He is like God. You can't say he's your brother. He's not like you. He's not equal to us. He's above us. That's what they think.
I think there's different doctrines to believe in different things. I know there's a young guy that I talked to at work that thinks his good deeds, believes that Jesus is a prophet. And when I talked to him, everything was kind of on the line of what we're speaking. But then at the end, he was like, he goes to heaven through his good works.
Right.
That's another aspect.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you're saying, some say he's a brother. It's twisted.
Twisted. This is where many prophets are rising up. Many false prophets are rising up in the last days and deceiving the elect. These false prophets are bringing false doctrines. They're bringing it with a conviction. They're bringing it with this conviction. That's why they're deceiving the elect.
It's like I said to Pastor earlier, it's like watching a bad acting show. They're up there speaking with a conviction, we know it's lie. We know it's false. It's like a bad actor. It's unbelievable.
It's bad.
Exactly right.
So you have this elect, and I'm going to keep referring back to the elect. They're individuals who want to know God.
Yep.
Their hearts are wide open, and they really want to know God.
Yeah.
And then you have these false doctrine prophets.
They think they got God.
They think they have the grace, which is deceiving the elect, and they're proclaiming it with a conviction, and their motives are for self-centeredness.
I was going to say it's pride.
Yeah, for pride, maybe financial gain.
Yep. Absolutely.
Maybe living status. A lifestyle of being something.
Yeah.
and having some recognition of an individual so that they can get their earn their respect or what have you.
Put on a pedestal.
Yeah. But you know, we're saying out there that, you know, you really need to test the waters on what's going on. I'm going to share another factor that there is, and I'm hoping our listeners grab hold of this, because one, they might have heard Jesus is God, you know? Ooh, you know, these are red flags. If you heard these things, they're red flags in the ministry that you're under, or the prophet that you're sitting under, listening to, or what have you, because we don't want the deception of these elect individuals. We want to stop the deception that is going on, hurting these people whose hearts are wide open, really wanting to know the truth, but they're being deceived and brought to hell, because the soul isn't dying and the spirit isn't being resurrected.
Amen. That's true.
And the only way that you can get into the kingdom of God, or the only way that you can have eternal life, the only way that you can get to heaven is if you are born again into the eternal spirit, not the soul, which is leads you down the path of darkness to hell, so to say.
And that born again experience comes from being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Exactly right. And your heart.
Exactly right.
You have to take a total renewing of your whole entire disposition to the point where you trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the nucleus that we'll always refer back to, so that if our listeners want to know how to become born again, they can go to the nucleus power of just trusting God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you can continue to trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then you will be transformed. You put God there, and he will transform you.
But I think you want to get back to the point where you were saying earlier about red flags in your church. If you hear these things, you've never...
That's where I'm going right now.
Good.
And help me out when you can come up with some red flags. Yeah. One of them is the blood of Jesus and how it covers your sin.
Right. How about the fact that you're a
sinner?
Wait
a minute. Let's elaborate on this, right? Because the people think that because they believed in Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross,
just
that believe that the blood that he shed 2,000 years ago actually covers their sins, so that they can continue to still live their life the way they're living, and yet at the same time, they're going to go to heaven because they believe that Jesus died on the cross.
Through someone else.
And that blood that was shed... I want to tell our listeners that he did that for his own salvation.
Correct.
He laid his soul down
to the will of
unto
God.
Death.
Yeah.
To the will of God, unto death, because he said to Pontius Pilate, "You have no power over me unless my Father in heaven has given it to you." So he laid it down to the authority that was given at that time, and they killed him. Well, that's his salvation.
Correct.
That, and the example of him, that's what we follow. We follow the example because, listen, it was death.
Well, the actual, his death was a physical death. The death that we're talking about here, God says, lay down your life, pick up your cross, follow me, and die daily. He's talking about the soul death.
Oh, yeah. But my whole point was that he physically laid his life down on the actions of life in general that was towards him. But that was for his own personal salvation.
Correct.
But at the end, didn't he surrender his spirit?
Yeah.
So that's unto when he God. Finally, his soul, he was done with his soul.
Yep. Yes. He was done.
Right there.
So,
I mean, it
so
was a physical thing, but his fight with his soul was done. And he says, now. My spirit, I command my spirit to God.
Absolutely.
So that should show our listeners right there that it was his personal salvation, not for the whole world.
You know, what's confusing people is John 3:16.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my next thing, that whosoever believeth in him shall not die or perish, but have everlasting life. Well,
but the Son is the Christ, is that divine nature within each person.
Well, when he mentions he, meaning Christ, the divine nature, yes. And we are all sons of God in the divine nature.
Correct.
Once we leave the soul or deny the soul, we are transformed into the Son.
Into the Son, correct.
Yeah. And that's why Jesus was considered the Son of God, because he did the same thing.
People out there, because they're forming that doctrine of Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And
I don't want to.
If you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that's where it derived from.
Right, yeah. but at the same time, I don't want to blame the people out there interpreting the scripture that way. I want to blame the false prophets that are holding on, whether it was from that generation to the other generation to the other generation to the other generation. Whatever they've done, they have kept that same flow.
Doctrine.
Yeah, same doctrine, rather than looking within with spiritual eyes. Because God says, if you ask, you shall receive.
Right, exactly.
And you know, and he wouldn't give us a stone or whatever, or a serpent, but he'll give us truth.
But let's remember this, though. In the beginning of John, the same exact verse that talks about believing, in John 1, he talks about being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he breaks down what being born again is and how it's how you're transformed. And then he goes into that belief, but there's a born again experience that has to take place. And that you know, that's in the same exact verse, same exact.
But the false prophets aren't speaking the truth of being born again, the truth of the sacrifice of the soul,
exactly,
and the raising of the spirit. They're not speaking about that.
I just thought it was pretty cool that you had the born again experience first.
The soul itself wants to deny that it has to die. It has to basically fade away.
It wants to hide in lies.
You have to be resurrected in spirit, because you know, it's easy for the soul and the false prophets to say, oh, yeah, as long as you believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins and everything else, that you're going to have eternal life. The soul still remains.
Correct.
It's still alive. It's still flourishing.
There's no relationship with God.
And there's no relationship with God. Correct.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a false doctrine. It's a false prophetic.
Right. Word, and anything, what creates it to be false is anything that diverts the soul from dying.
Correct.
If the soul
and
can
spirit being resurrected.
Exactly right. And if the soul can continue to deceive the elect, those that have their hearts wide open, wanting to know the truth, to keep them from knowing the truth, that they can still live their life the way they're living it. But if you believe in Jesus, that blood will cover your sins and you'll be okay.
Right.
You see, that's deception right there.
It's deception.
Yep.
Right there. Jesus being the only God. That's deception right there. Where you can't have that oneness with God. Jesus even said,
let them be one as we are one. I and you, and you and me, and them and you.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Exactly the same thing.
Exactly right. But the false prophets are saying, no, that cannot be.
Correct.
There are some.
Correct. That's awesome.
There are some false prophets that are out there blessing the bread.
Correct.
And you can't touch it. They call it the
sacrament.
Yes.
And you can't even touch it.
Locked
and they have to put it on your tongue. And only he can drink the blood.
The priest.
The false prophets.
The false prophets, yeah.
Yeah. These are red flags for our listeners. I want them to be able to catch the red flags so that they can say to themselves, whoa, look at it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just take our word for it. You know, dig in. Do your research. Find out for yourself.
Well, how about this? Is your church helping you? Are you receiving peace and joy and happiness? Or are you still suffering with the same problems you've suffered with your whole life? Can you sleep at night? Are you tormented with thoughts all day long? Is your church setting you free? If it's not, you're in the wrong church.
Well, the false prophets say that's life.
Yeah, hello.
That is the whipping and the
fact that we're wretched and we deserve it.
Yeah, that's the persecution
that's
everyone has
flag.
To go through.
When they're calling you wretched and calling you a sinner and calling you wicked and all these things, that's the biggest red flag right there. Because, you know, they're saying because of somebody else's so-called righteousness, you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
What's that do for you? What about laying your life
down? They're laying guilt and shame, constantly putting you into guilt and shame, and that's a red flag, like you just said.
Keeps you coming back.
One of the things that we proclaim is that you are a good individual. You don't mean any harm. It's the nature and sin's hunger to keep the nature alive.
We've just been deceived.
That,
simple
as
that.
That's been deceived.
You know, here's another one. Now that we're on top. You know, there's churches out there, and I'm not going to name the churches, but they
we'll keep it as false prophets.
As false prophets.
Yeah.
Where they make you go in and confess your sins, where they can forgive you, okay? But God in the scripture always says, lead a repentant life, where you change the way you think, where you renew your mind on a constant daily basis, mm-hmm. okay? Where he's already forgiven us.
Now,
our trespasses are already forgiven. Where this other false prophet's making you and forcing you to go back to confess your sins. They make you do these actions.
There you go.
Right.
They make you do works.
They make you do
which
works.
Which therefore justifies you to God. Without
right.
doing the Hail Marys or the Our Fathers, all that, they make yep. you do works, which makes God forgive you.
Correct.
The priest doesn't forgive you. Your works
your
forgive
works
you.
Your works forgive you.
Correct.
Correct. That's a red flag.
That's exactly right.
That's yeah. another red flag. We should yeah. write all these red flags
they're
down.
They're in our head.
We should write all these red flags down.
It's on the camera. It's on the video.
Okay.
But these are important, though. I mean, there's people out there that are just being duped, and it's a shame. It really is, because
yep.
it's taking away
Read
your relationship with God.
Read that scripture verse that... What brought us to this place, many false, in the last days, many false, and so that, you know, our listeners and those that are out there that may have grabbed hold of this tape, you know, by accident, what have you, could really embrace why we're saying what we're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I love everyone, and I am sick and tired of seeing people living in deception because their flesh is weak, and they have a heart for God, but they can't deal with their flesh. They can't war against it. They can't lay down their bad habits or whatever it may be that's causing them, and they overlook it all by using lame excuses. Well, I'm covered in the blood, and I love Jesus, and I love God, and you know, but you got to understand that one verse that's been really hounding me. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you knowingly know that you're doing something that is not pleasant in the eyes of God.
Because there's a conviction there that just won't leave.
And you overlook it.
And you overlook it.
You
yeah.
make excuses. You justify it. You find some ways or whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how many Hail Marys or Our Fathers or whatever else you did. He's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, some people, here's another deception of the false prophets that are out there. Oh, but I'm covered by grace, you know? Oh, I have
yeah.
mercy. God's
yeah.
mercy
yeah.
and his love yeah. wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If your heart is pricking you and you know that it's not right in the eyes of God, I don't care what it is. It could be as little as what they call a white lie, you know?
Yeah.
This is how serious I am with the time that we're living in right now. It seems to me that we are on a threshold of one door closing and one door opening. The one that's opening is like not for those that lived in the other door. Once that door shuts, it's almost like Noah's Ark door mm-hmm.
shutting. Right.
No one's else allowed to be in it. Now, the next door that's opened up, that's for the new generation, I would say. That's,
yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because he says there's new ages.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And many false prophets rise up and deceive the elect, you know, in the last days.
Of that age.
Of that age.
Yeah.
And I believe we're at that time. So I look at individuals who have lived the age. Better listen to this word. They better hear it.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have this rude awakening. They're going to have this rude awakening. Now, the scriptures do say this. It's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt for those who haven't heard our word. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they're out there and they never heard us, I believe that's where God's grace and his mercy. But if you heard us
and rejected it,
or you ignored it,
yeah,
you know, and still played their happy game,
yeah,
you know, they're going to hear that. Mm-hmm. They're going to hear, get away from me, I never knew you, worker of iniquity. Yeah. They're going to hear it. And I say this, why would he be pricking our hearts on this particular subject so much? Why would he be stirring us
it's time, and it's precious time right now.
It is.
People are leaving this natural realm into eternal realm, and they're perishing.
They're perishing.
Their spirit's perishing because their spirit never resurrected.
No.
You know, and then they're finding out after the fact, oh, crap, I'm in trouble here.
The interesting thing is if you look at that scripture, they start pleading.
Yeah.
But Lord, Lord. Now, I find it interesting. The soul is still alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the soul is justifying. We did all these works. We did all these things in your name. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. So there he goes to show you that the soul is still alive being judged right there. And he says, get away from me, I never knew you, worker of iniquity. He judged the soul. Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
He judged the soul right there.
Yeah.
How many souls are going to go up before the Lord? And he's going to judge them that way. Wide is the road. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Wide is the road that leads to destruction.
Many there are that find it.
There are many
that find the wide road of destruction. There are many that find it.
Many to find it.
Yes.
It's not very hard to find it because they're all on it.
That's exactly right.
But very few find the narrow. And this is no joke. You know, a lot of the false prophets are saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be on that narrow road.
Yep.
You know, this stuff's got to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to kill you forever, eternal.
Yeah.
This is life and death. It's not a game.
The lies have to stop.
Yeah, they make it a religious, it's like a religious show.
Yeah.
It's got to stop.
It's crazy.
It's got to stop. You know, those that are the false prophets and have this deception, you know, God could be revealing them to change. But I bet you there's some listening. I bet you there's fear that they'll lose their congregation.
Exactly right.
Or they'll lose their credibility.
Yeah.
Well, I've been speaking this with a conviction. Well, yeah, maybe you did. You know, there was times where I believed a certain way, and then I had to change the way I thought because I saw it in a different light.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to humble yourself before the Lord and realize that, you know, revelation is always evolving and always growing. We don't have the mind of
God. Just like facts of the world. Carved used to be good, not carved or bad. The things changed. The intellect of the world changes. You know, they used to think the world was flat. Now they know it's round. Things change.
Things change.
It's not the same old, same old. It's not.
You know, it's like this. For example, let's say you're in sports and you learn a certain skill set, right? Then 10 years later, that skill set's like null and void. It's obsolete. You have to learn a whole new skill set. And it takes you to a different level. Well, that's what we're talking about, this grace right now. It's being poured out. Is God wants everybody to come up to a different level in him because he's like, be holy for I'm holy.
He wants you to be transformed. Okay? He wants to transform us.
In the soul, you can't be holy.
No.
You can't be holy. There's no holiness there.
But it'll tell you you're holy.
It will tell you you're holy, yeah.
It'll justify.
By works.
By works. Yeah. Because up there, but Lord, Lord, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. But Lord, Lord, but Lord, Lord.
I said my 16 Hail Marys and my 15 Our Fathers. What's wrong with you?
Or I went out there and evangelized. Or I went out there and feed the poor. I went out there and gave them clothes.
Healed the sick.
Or I went out there and healed the sick. Or I did many signs and wonders and miracles in your name.
Hey, I'm on Twitter, and I follow certain ministries that are out there. And, you know, they go to these crusades, and all they're talking about is them healing this person. And
they're giving you numbers about what they accomplished.
Yeah. Hey, we saved this many souls, and it's like, stop it. Stop it.
How about? Well, look at what they're doing to the viewers. Oh, they're so anointed.
Yeah.
Look at them. They're going out there raising the dead.
And they put themselves above other people instead of being below those people.
Yeah. First of all, God is the one who's doing the, if it's God, it could be, you know, hey, listen, demons threw their staffs down and they turned into serpents too at Moses' time, you know. So Moses threw his serpent, his staff down, and it turned into a serpent. And then and then the false prophets threw their staffs down and it turned into snakes too. The only way that you knew which one was greater was Moses is ate all the others. Yeah,
he ate the other two.
Yeah. I know that there's a fire burning inside of me, and I know I feel it inside of you guys too, that this has to get out there, and the nonsense of these false, you know, and the thing is they're intertwined. There's a lot of them. There's many. There are many, many out there that are proclaiming this junk that is not going to bring you to salvation. It's not.
Where's the change? Where's the teaching of change in your church? There's
none.
The question.
Yeah,
there's the question.
That's another red flag.
If
there's no change,
if it's Groundhog's Day every day,
that's right.
Yeah,
if there's no change, there's no relationship with God. That's not good.
Yeah,
and they don't teach that. That's the thing. And like you're saying, they're putting themselves on the pedestal. If it's financial, if it's
recognition,
fame, pride, whatever. Well, it all wraps itself around pride. Mm-hmm. But it's just a sad, sad situation. I mean, even when we started, when God started this ministry, it's been a change for the last, whatever, close to 20 years now.
Changing every day.
Every day. And every year there's a change. And it's a deeper, deeper revelation. Not saying that we're above anybody, but it's a tearing down of yourself.
Well, what we find is our hearts are meditating on God pretty much all day long.
Yeah.
And that's where our mind should be. And if your mind isn't meditating on God or having an awareness of God all day, realizing that God's with you, realizing that God's blessed you, realizing that God's in front of you, leading you, then there's no relationship. How do you...
And, you know, to clarify, because our listeners might say to themselves, man, they got their cloaks on. Mm-mm. We live the world.
Yeah.
We work in the world. We're all, you know, in the world. We like the things of the world. I mean, I would love to get on a speedboat and ride a speedboat, go fishing.
Follow sports. Whatever. But,
yeah.
You know.
It's not like we have this cloak on and we put ourselves in a cave and we just are constantly, our thoughts and our hearts are always acknowledging the higher power of our Creator, God.
Correct, because of the truth that we received in here.
Exactly right.
That truth has transformed us into an awareness.
That's right.
To where we know who we are, and we know who God is, mm-hmm. and most of the world doesn't even know.
No, they don't know where they are.
And the reason why we're saying
this,
there had to be somebody who started this. There has to be a forerunner to say it can be done.
Yeah.
People are saying, I'm never be able to focus on God all day long. I'll never be able to do that.
Well,
Jesus was the first, and Paul was a big one.
Correct.
Too.
Yeah, and Paul was a big one.
Paul was holding the cloaks while they stoned people and killed them, and he turned his life around. And God grabbed him and spun him.
The problem is their stories. For them to see an actual person doing it, a living person in this world today doing it, it weighs a lot.
Well, we are not out there in the sense of personally knowing individual, like maybe Martin Luther. Who was that one? Luther?
Luther was the one that started the Lutheran movement.
Yeah, Lutheran. Okay. I think maybe he had the strong conviction of the revelation that God was revealing to him, and he stood up and changed the dynamics of
the Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church.
Away from it. Yeah.
Charles Finney or
Finney,
something.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there were some individuals in ages.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at a new age here where the door closed back then, and now the door opened up to our age.
Correct.
And this generation or age here is the message that we have now, mm-hmm. and it may even evolve greater.
Increase.
Correct.
In the next stage, because Jesus says, "Greater works you shall do, because I'm going to the Father." He's saying an age is closing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a new age is opening up. So greater works you're going to do, greater things you're going to do, because I'm going to the Father. Meaning the age is closing and a new age is opening up. So I believe that an age is ending and a new age is opening up. And so we might be at the beginning of the age, or at the very end of the age,
or both.
Or both.
Well, yeah.
It's both.
Yeah, it could be both. Where others may build upon what we are going to leave behind.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You know, they're going to build. I know that there's a greater revelation of what we're saying.
I'd like to piggyback off of Pastor Kurt for a second. Yeah. Because he brought up about repentance. You know, and that's a misguided word out there. And there's a lot of churches, a lot of this false prophets. They'll make you feel guilty and shameful and condemn you. Because maybe you're caught up in something that you really need to change from. But true repentance doesn't bring guilt and shame and condemnation.
No.
All it causes you is to react to it and say, okay, you know what? I need to change the way I think.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn
another
from
red flag.
It. That's a red flag if you feel guilt, shame, and condemnation.
No. How about this? Yep. If they're saying that repentance means stop sinning, stop what you're doing. That's what they're trying to say. That's what they're saying. They're not saying change what you think. They're saying stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing.
Right. And that's what they say.
That's a red flag.
You shouldn't gamble. Yeah. You shouldn't drink.
Because if there's no conviction, right. It's bringing guilt. And it's bringing shame because they're putting you under a certain law going by.
That's
not what
right.
your heart's telling you.
That's
but what,
right.
But what
right.
they're going
okay,
by.
Okay, so let me understand. What you're saying is what is laid on your heart is what you need to change the way you're thinking on. If you're feeling bad about a situation and you know it's not right because your heart is saying it, not the fact that it's gambling, because like I might be able to gamble, you might be able to gamble, but he may not be able to gamble.
Exactly what we just said.
Yeah.
Exactly what you
said. Well, I'm just trying to clarify.
I think they got it. But the bottom line is that if your church isn't saying for you to follow the conviction on your own heart.
On your own heart.
If your pastor's not saying to you, you have a law written on your heart by God's own hand, and your law is different than my law, different than his law, different than her law.
And
if he's not encouraging you and trying to find that law with you or trying to identify it and help you fulfill it, that he's not leading you in the right direction.
No, what he is a dictator.
Exactly right. He's giving you his conviction.
That's right.
Correct.
He's giving you a law.
Correct.
And he's telling you that he's a dictator. He's
exactly
telling
right.
you have to do this.
Everyone has a law written on their heart by God. An individual law written for them by God.
Correct.
That's a life that's greater than they could ever imagine. And that law has to be backed by your pastor and helped every way possible to fulfill that law. Otherwise, he's not helping you. You're done. You're in a place that's never gonna, like Kurt says, never gonna change. It's gonna be repeating the same thing every week. The same thing. Nothing ever changes.
Correct.
It's bad.
Correct.
Yeah, mic's off.
Wiggle that cord in the back.
This is off.
No. We have a slight technical difficulty, and we'll get it. Just wiggle the back wire there. Pull it out and put it back in. All right, plug it in the back of that speaker. Sorry, we're having a little bit of a difficult, but you can still hear me out of that one, right? So it's being recorded. All right, just keep it unplugged. Keep it unplugged. We're operating off of one speaker, but that recording is still getting us. So that is a good way of looking at another red flag if the ministry or the church that you're sitting under doesn't support you in your own convictions, and they're laying down a do's and don'ts, a rights
laws,
and wrongs, a law saying everybody has to wear, you know, girls have to wear dresses and boys have to wear pants. I'm just using some examples.
you know, or girls have to wear their long hair and boys have to keep their hair short, you know, or no tattoos, or you can't dress this way, you can't listen to
anybody here drinking or whatever, you're out of here.
Yeah, you know? Or you can't listen to rock and roll because right. rock and roll is the devil's music or what have you. Yeah. You know,
but that goes on out there. It happens a lot.
These are a lot of laws. So, yeah. you know, that's another red flag. And, you know, people have to find God and not religion.
Correct.
And the false prophets that are rising up in these days right now that are deceiving the elect, and the elect are those with their hearts wide open. They really want to know God, and they're being deceived. This has to stop.
Yep.
They have to be bound, stopped, and... You know, this is what brings me to hope, because I pray about this. Lord, this is a big mess out there. This mess has been going on for years and years and generations. But didn't he say he's going to smite them, scatter their sheep,
yep.
yeah.
and bring them to green pasture?
Yep.
That's my prayer. Lord, smite those false prophets out there. You know, destroy the works, because... If God can cut the head off the serpent and scatter the elect, yep. the ones that have their hearts wide open, they'll have a chance.
Yes. Yep.
And I believe that God is saying this in the hour, that he's going to do it.
Well, give him a chance.
I truly believe it. He's going to do it.
That's a merciful God right there.
Yeah, that's the merciful God that we serve.
Yep.
Well, you see it out there, too. Wow. You start to see it. There's
in what ways?
In certain denominations, you see they're shrinking.
Shrinking. You're right.
They are.
Are they shrinking in the ways that people are tired of hearing the retro stuff? And now
there has to be.
They put
shrinking.
Themselves in their own personal, you know, box.
They just I'm walk thinking, away from.
I think that the younger generation, it's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah, they don't believe in God.
Because you see the schools.
Taking out prayer.
Well, no. I'm talking about their schools mm-hmm. are diminishing. There's like three of them are combining into one now. Because that's how many kids go. Churches are closing down in certain denominations and having to combine. Because there's not the parishioners out there anymore. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where, say, 500, 500, and 500. So there was 1,500. Now there's only 500 in those three
categories.
Churches. Correct. And now they have to make one church.
Yep. Right.
And that's going to get smaller. So it's just a matter of time. And I believe that, you know, everything's from God. We believe that.
Yeah.
I agree totally with you, because there's a lot of the younger generation. They don't want to be told what they have to do and what that. They want to be free.
It's
following their heart. And they smelled out religion and said, that's not for me.
But there's but there's some stuff out there right now that's false, that they're saying is love, and it's being force-fed on the kids.
Well, the problem really is that the parents never told these kids any truth. They didn't grow up with truth. They grew up with the soul, the lies of the soul.
Well,
same thing their parents grew up with. There was no truth.
Well,
so these kids are being fed nothing but lies. So why would they want it?
What I'm saying is they're learning off the parents.
Exactly right.
Because the parents are stuck in the soul.
Well, let me tell you.
And then that's where they're learning, okay, here's how you move in the soul, you know, because they're not learning how to move in spirit.
But I do believe that there's younger people out here or individuals that God's going to put his hand on to give them that conviction in their heart.
To search.
To search. Sure. Yeah, I really do believe
it. You know,
it's like he did to Pastor Jim and
all of us.
You notice the younger generation.
Better believe in that.
Really isn't searching through church or religion anymore. They're not guided into that anymore. They're kind of being pushed away from it, because think about it. We talked about this several months ago, where like the millennial generation, the younger generation, they're not into like the religious movement. They're free.
Well, then, yeah.
They're more free in their spirit.
The ones that are searching are the ones that came under the truth.
Yes.
Like your son.
Yes.
And his generation.
Yeah.
But how many of his friends are searching? See, he's bringing his, so hopefully wife, into it. And she's searching now.
When his friends have issues...
They come to him.
They come to him.
But they recognize maturity. They recognize wisdom. They recognize something.
But they, no, he talks God to them.
Okay. Are they searching God, though?
I don't know.
See, that's the know. That's the
I
question.
Know. I don't know.
Both my nephews don't believe in God. You know who told my one nephew not to believe in God? His third grade teacher, public school. There's no God. And he asked my nephew to bring him proof, show him. I was preaching to him for a long time in public school. They just got in there. And it's like, yeah, you said, it's like a system trying to get right. God out, because the whole country's against the God-fearing Republican.
Well, it's
true.
I'm hoping that those that are hearing us, or those that may be logging on or somehow picked up the tape or a friend gave it to them, give us a chance.
Yeah, it wasn't by accident.
Yeah, it wasn't by accident. And I hope and pray that you somehow take a look at your eternal life. Some people may not even believe that there's life after death. But there is life after death. I know personally, a personal experience, that there is life after death.
There absolutely is, yeah.
And so we need to really embrace that eternal realm. You know, yeah, we'll get through this life, you know, and you know, I'll have food, and I'll eat, and then I'll die, okay? But what's going to happen when you do die? Think about that part of it. If you want to be stiff-necked and tough now in this life, what are you going to do on your next life, that eternal realm, when you have no power, you have no choice?
Right.
You can't do it on your own. You're either sent to the kingdom or you're sent away from the kingdom. What are you going to do then? But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name.
You know, that's key. You have no choice anymore. Now is the only time you're ever going to have a choice.
This is the only time you have a choice.
There is no other time where you're going to have a choice, and people take it for granted. They don't take it. They don't believe it.
No, they need epiphany.
They need truth.
They need to see a couple dead people.
Yeah.
They need to see death. They need to be able to see
shocking
death. They need to see somebody breathing, and next thing you know, not breathing anymore.
Yeah.
They need to see something. They need something to wake them up to realize that this is a sincere, eternal life message.
Yeah.
That they're going to have a choice now to be made.
The only time.
The only time. Because when you leave this earth, I don't care what kind of garbage went into your head about God's love, His mercy, and His grace. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God's love and His mercy and His grace is not something to joke about.
No.
Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But, there is no buts in the eyes of God. He didn't say, okay, all right, all right.
You can say that one guy.
All right, Mulligan.
Yeah.
Take a mulligan. We'll do it again.
All right. Since you did the work, since you were deceived by a false prophet and you had your heart open to know me, but you never really sought me, so you believed him and you went ahead and you just followed it. Sorry.
I'm going to say something that Pastor Tim said a long time ago that blew my mind and still blows my mind to this day. God's a God of law.
Yes.
And His law are in heaven, and He sets up His laws. And His law is to follow His will.
And he can't break away from the law.
Even though he said in Scripture, how many times do I want to go down to my country, Israel, and wrap my wings around him, like a hen wraps her hands, her arms around her little chicks.
Yeah.
But I can't, because I'm my hands are tied.
Yeah. You know what? It's a great point, because when Israel was seeking after false prophets, false gods and everything,
yep,
you know, God would have to send a prophet. He had to send something to let them know, look.
He sent an army to go fight them, to wake them up.
Well, I'm saying, like, he had to go send somebody
that's
to tell them.
That's what he's sending right now, four of us right here.
To repent.
Yep.
Because, look, according to my law, it's sin, and you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know?
And I can't help you.
I can't help you.
Because my hands are tied.
Because of the law that was set up. But I'm going to give you a warning through somebody to speak this word so that you can repent. Because that's where it comes
from. Now, ready for this?
Divert from the law.
That law
is
the law written on your heart
that
you have to follow.
Yep.
That's your law. That's the law.
Yep.
If you follow that law, you're following God's law.
Right.
And you're welcomed.
Yep.
If you don't follow the law written on your heart, like you just said, done.
But I'm going to clarify a little bit of this. That law is written on our heart, but our heart could be deceivingly wicked, too. Because of the soul.
Yeah.
And if the soul doesn't come into that place of broken and contrite, the law of God never even manifests itself.
Right.
Because if it's prideful and haughty, it'll deceive the heart and not even let the law of God's law
manifest
on the heart be even heard.
Yeah.
We're talking about the real law, not the soul law, the real law that's written on your heart. That's the only chance they
have. But the real law doesn't come alive yet.
That's what I'm saying. They have to find that law written on their heart by God.
And the only way to find that is through they got to come to a place of sick and tired of being sick and tired. They have to realize, oh my God.
Well, the spirit has life through humility.
Yeah.
Whereas the soul has life through pride.
Exactly.
And they have to come to a place of saying, oh my God, there is a possibility that I might have eternal death.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live in eternal death.
They might not say that, but they'll say this. I can't sleep. I'm tormented. I have no peace. I have no joy. They're not going to say.
Something must be wrong.
They're going to say, I have symptoms of a problem. I don't know the root. The root, nobody really knows how to get what you just said. But the symptoms of the problem are, I'm tormented all day long. I can't stop thinking about this issue in my mind that I've been dealing with for months and months and years, and it never stops tormenting me all day, all night, sleepless nights. I have to take drugs, alcohol to sleep. I'm sick of it.
Yep.
That's how you know. You have symptoms of a problem of sickness. No peace, no joy.
Anxiety, there depression.
Yep.
Worry.
Correct.
Yep. Fear. Your heart's troubled.
That's right.
Constantly.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
If you have it, there's an issue.
And if those issues are in you.
Look at your symptoms.
And you are sick, if you're going to be honest with yourself.
Well, let me say this. If you follow the law in your heart and you believe truth, you slowly get transformed. We're being transformed by the renewal of our mind. If we don't stop following the soul, we're transformed in the other direction.
Right.
Transformation's happening, and you're getting further and further away from awareness. The longer you follow the soul, the harder it is to even hear the law written on your heart because you're so enthralled with the heart. The soul has got its grip on you for 50 years, 60 years. That's all you know. Yeah. It's hard to stop that.
But as you said earlier, you have to know that there's a problem.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And that's when the fear of the Lord begins to come in.
The
fear of the Lord begins to come in. If you don't think you have a problem.
Everybody's got problems.
You know, that's a good point that you brought up. You have to know that you have a problem.
You have to acknowledge it.
Be honest.
If you keep pretending you don't have a problem, or the problem isn't really a problem. But you know what? I do it because of this and this and this.
You said it earlier.
Not a pity.
Right.
Somebody that wants to get petted all the time. It has to be a genuine.
You have to know it's an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. But you said it earlier. You said that you could do the same problem and keep doing it until you don't even hear conviction anymore. You keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
Until it becomes life.
You paint over it so much.
Yep.
You whitewashed it so much that
tell yourself it.
Exactly right.
So
it's not even a conviction anymore.
That's
it's
right.
a way of life.
That's right.
It's your life.
It's a way of life.
And then you are what you say all the time. You're possessed.
Possessed.
And you cannot control your peace. You can't control your joy. You can't sleep at night. You have no control over anything.
Nope.
Self-control is one of the greatest fruits of the spirit because fear comes in. You allow truth to come in, and it takes the fear out. Worry comes in. You meditate on God, and you allow truth to come in, and the worry goes away. That's how it works.
Yep.
Truth has to dispel fear, worry. You know, the light will dispel darkness.
Yep.
And the more we're meditating on light, the more we're going to be clean.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
And there is a cry.
There's a cry.
And if you cry unto the Lord, you shall be saved.
It's the oh God cry.
And
oh
you
God.
Need to say, I have an issue and I need help.
Yep.
God, please help me.
That's humbling yourself.
Yep. And God will send a power.
Yep.
To help you.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want, his desire is to have
none perish.
Suffer or perish.
That's right.
So if they're going through suffering and there's issues that you just can't deal with under your own strength, you're not crying out to God.
Exactly right.
You're not saying, God, I really know that this is an issue and I need some help. I need help.
Please help me.
Look, you're looking at your eternal life at stake. You're looking at an eternity. You're looking at a situation that you can't go back. And those people that said, but Lord, Lord, they couldn't say, can I go back and replay what I did
do
and
over.
Then I'll do it over again in the way you want me to do it?
No.
He said, no. He said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Get out of here. With that being said, we're done. Pastor Tim left to go fix our
sound
and everything else and to log us off. So we would like to say goodbye to you guys. Take care. God bless.
Good night.
And we'll talk to you later. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.
It's a good one, dude.
Yeah, glad you were here. You know,